someone said to me. So John chapter 16 verse 33, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Where is peace found? In him. Hallelujah. The him or the me is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Jesus says, in me there is peace. Not the peace that we talk about. It's one that we say is peace because people don't say peace. But you find that there's a lot of violence that happens underground. Hallelujah. Amen. Whether it goes in all of these places, so you say it's a peaceful country. But then you find that in the prisons, in the hospitals, you find a lot of people suffering because people have been badly. And sometimes in our homes, we say, for the sake of peace, I will keep quiet. It's not necessarily for the sake of peace, it's just for the sake of being. Otherwise, there's no peace when you part those things not okay. It's a false sense of peace. Hallelujah. But he says, in the world you will have what? Tribulation. So in the world there's tribulation. In the world there's good things, there's bad things. I think the last time I was here, I was showing you all these pictures of lovely things and crisis and all. Those are the good things that you will find. But he says, but also in this world you will find what? Tribulation. But he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. So there are all kinds of tribulations, sickness, disease, economic situations, poverty, and all of that. Just the past days, people were crying about a cyclone. As the cyclone arrived. Hallelujah. And you know, as believers, we should just take the stand to say, I'm not going to participate in saying, oh, there's this cyclone. So it's not denial. It's as I've said here many times, there is no benefit of the cyclone coming, destroying roofs and flooding places. There is actually no benefit. So the position that you have to take in prayer and in the spirit is to say, these things should not happen. We welcome the rain. Let it rain. The ground will produce and all of that. But things like floods, things like winds, disasters, lives being lost, there's no benefit for that. Hallelujah. But he says, in this world, there'll always be tribulation. But he says, but be of good cheer. I have what? Hallelujah. Jesus has overcome the world. Now I want us to go to the book of 1 John chapter 5. So this is the dominion then we talk about to say that in the midst of tribulation, there is an overcoming of the things that are happening in this world. Hallelujah. Dominion does not necessarily mean that there is no tribulation in the world, but dominion basically means that you're able to overcome the tribulations that we find in this world day by day. 1 John chapter 5 from verse 4, and then we can also read verse 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes what? The world. So now we see that if you are born of God, you now find yourself in a position where you are an overcomer. You overcome the world. When you are overcoming the world, it means you're overcoming the tribulations that are in this world. Hallelujah. We are not just waiting to go to heaven one day to overcome. But in this present time, Jesus prayed for us. Hallelujah. John 17. That don't take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. Which means that he knew that in this world there'll be evil, but he has prayed for us. Someone said, Jesus has prayed for me. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he ever lives to make intercession for us. It doesn't mean that now you must not pray. But it's just trying to tell you that you have someone who is praying for you, who is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He has prayed for you, and he is praying for you. And that should give you the courage to say that, no, in this world you are not left alone when you are in him. He says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our what? Our faith. So now the victory that we have in this world, the dominion that we have in this world is through our faith. Hallelujah. Through our faith in Christ, it then gives us that victory, that ability to overcome the tribulations that are in this world. Hallelujah. So then this is, helps us to understand that, look, this world we're living in has got troubles, but there is a victory in our faith. This is the victory. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. I want us to go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Amen. Let's get into the word. Hallelujah. He says, looking unto who? Jesus. Because remember, he says, in me you will have peace. Then he says that our victory is our faith. Now, part of the faith is that we must look unto Jesus. There are many things to look unto right now. You can go on your bank app if it's there in your phone and you can look there and then it can tell you that, man, it's rough. Things are not going well. This year is not going to end well. You are looking at the account. Hallelujah. You can look at the economy and then determine that, hey, life is going to be like this and like this and like this. Hallelujah. But then you can also look unto Jesus. Because he says that this is the victory that overcomes the world. Because someone will just say that, no, looking unto Jesus is just so that we can feel some goosebumps when we are in the house of God or when you are praying. No, he says there is a victory that overcomes the world in Christ. Jesus is very relevant to this world. Why is that? Because the Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it continues to say that everything was made by the Word. So this world, this physical world, the physical aspect of the world, it was not something that was invented by man. It was brought in by God. It was God's idea to have people living here. So it's not that he's just an irrelevant person. In fact, if we are actually following the word, the Bible says he upholds everything. If it was not for God, we wouldn't even be breathing. Hallelujah. But then the world that he talks about is that there is a system. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about the god of this world being Satan. John 10 verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. So there is someone who came into this world and brought all this evil, which Jesus says he prayed for us to keep us from. So he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. So your faith begins where? In Christ. And that's why he says, you should look to him because he's the author and he's the finisher of your faith. Which means that your faith begins in him and it's maintained in him and it concludes in him. So you should continue to look unto him if you are going to stand in faith. And the reason why you need to stand in faith, because it is the faith that is the victory that overcomes the world. Ask your neighbor, where have you been looking? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we are to look at him because he's the one that is actually keeps us in the faith. When you see your faith moving up and down like this, it's not because of the circumstances. It's because your eyes have shifted from him. He's the author and he's the finisher. Paul actually says that when you start something, you start it in faith, you start it in believing God, you start it in the spirit, but you must not end it in the flesh. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, look to Jesus. Someone said, where is he? You know, where is he that I can look at him? As if I knew where to find him. Hallelujah. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Why is it that you must look to Jesus? Because, you know, in this world, there's nothing that is constant. Hallelujah. The weather changes. You know, it's cold today, it's hot tomorrow, it's raining. People change. And sometimes not for the better. It's better when people change for the better. But people change for the worse. That's why you say, I thought I knew you. Circumstances change. Hallelujah. One day you are the darling at work, the next day they want to get rid of you. Hallelujah.
Even the price of food, you go to the shop right now, you're carrying your $100, you reach there, you find that, hey, the $100 is too small, and there's no one who's going to accommodate you. Hallelujah. Everything is changing, but there's one constant, that is Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, it says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means when you're looking at him, it's not like, hey, he's gonna now change, and he's gonna change his promises. But people will change, say, hey, you know, when I promised you that thing, things were a bit better, but hey, now things are not as good, so I can't help you anymore. But with him, he's the same yesterday, he's the same today, he's the same forever. The Jesus that you read about in the Bible is the same one today. And he's going to be like that forever. And otherwise, it's not going to expire. Maybe you have your uncle there who is a politician in government and life was good whilst he was there and then his term ends and then now things are changing. No. With him he's the same yesterday, today and forever. If he's seated on the throne, he's seated on the throne forever. He cannot be overcome. So that is why we look to him, because it's a constant thing. It's something that you can bank your life on, that this is not going to shift. His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So it's not going to say, well, you see that word that I gave, you know, at that time it was during Paul's time and, hey, you know, things were not the same. Now it's 2024. Life has changed. No, his word is still the same. The Bible says heaven and earth shall do what? Shall pass away, but his word will remain. That is why we look to him, because his word, you know, that at the end of the day, everything will expire, but the word of God will remain. The author and the finisher of our faith. And this is how we overcome. Because we have a constant. Something that is never changing. Hallelujah. God could not be faithful to you 2 years ago. And then today. Now he's not faithful. Hallelujah. Say God has changed. He's not. That's why the Bible says he's not a what? He's not a man that he should lie. It's only men that are changing. Hallelujah. But he says he's not a man that he should lie. In fact, the Bible even says it is impossible for God to lie. What is a lie? If you look at a lie in a perspective, it's not that someone said, this is a flower, yet it's a pulpit. It's also in the aspect for someone to say, hey, you know what? I was going to come to you, but I got stuck somewhere. And I couldn't come and help you. It means their word never came to pass. But for him, there is no circumstance that will help him stuck somewhere. Hallelujah. He's not a man that will promise you heaven and earth. Say they're going to marry you and then next thing, they're with someone else. If he has promised, you can take it, not even to the bank, to wherever. That's why he says, look to Jesus, because that is a constant. Are we together? He says, God does not change. Malachi 3 verse 6. He says, I'm God, I change not. Because he's already perfect. When something is perfect, it doesn't need to change. So, he says, look unto Jesus, the author of the finisher of our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And you see the challenge is that our eyes are always shifting everywhere. Hallelujah. Instead of having our eyes fixed on Christ and his word. Amen. The most difficult thing for you to do as a believer is to keep your eyes fixed on the word. When things are pinching you and you say, I'm not going to shift from the word. Hallelujah. I remember some years back, I needed something. And the Holy Spirit says, don't even tell anyone, don't even ask anyone. And I said, you know what, the time is now moving. You see, when there's 5 hours, oh, hallelujah, God is coming through. But when you see that there's like 2 minutes left, then, oh, sabia brakasia. You start looking for plan B. But, that was one of the times where I really saw the grace. It was just at the last second when everything happened. Then he says, no, keep your eyes on Jesus. When you start looking around, you start looking at the watch. God has spoken, but you are looking at the watch. And said, hey, does he know that there's 5 minutes left? Because honestly, we believe that God is a man and he can forget. You have to send him a reminder. Hallelujah. But when you fixed on the word, instead your faith is enlarged, it's increased. And you stay in that position to say, no, this thing is going to happen. Not because I'm just being optimistic. You see, this thing goes beyond being optimistic. In the world, they tell you be positive. Think good thoughts. Here we go beyond that. Because there's a time when they'll tell you that now let's face reality. Optimism cannot work here. Because let's look at the facts. But here he remains the same. Facts or no facts? 1 plus 1 adding up or not? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And therefore you then have hope in this world. But your eyes must be there. Hallelujah. Are we still together, saints? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. And we're going to read from verse 3. From 2 and 3. Isaiah 26. Okay, let's see verse 3. Yes. He says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. So can you see now, it's still the aspect of looking. He says, he will keep you in what? Perfect peace. It's not just peace. Because honestly, when there's 5 minutes left, you start losing your peace. You start checking to say that, hey, this word, hey, this God, is he coming through? But it's important to understand that the first posture is to look. That's why I said, I'm not talking about being positive. That's another thing. Here we're talking about faith. Faith is when your eyes have beheld Jesus, the word, the living word, the word of God. And there's a conviction in your heart. But then he says, you don't just look once, because he's the author and the finisher. So for sure you have the conviction in your heart. But if you stop looking, the finishing part cannot be there. So we all start in faith. We all start believing God. We all come to church. January, everyone is fired up. February, March, as the year goes. Hallelujah. It's not that because now things were better for these. No, it's the looking. It's the beholding. It's the focus. He says, he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Staying. Do you know what it means to stay? Some are just like, I'm here for now. I can take 5 minutes, God, and then after that, if things don't happen, I have to start looking everywhere. But he says he'll keep him in perfect peace. How many want perfect peace? So it's not just peace he's talking about. He's talking about a perfect peace. Hallelujah. He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. So when your mind is stayed, there's a trust that is developed. You see, I can believe you, but I may not trust you. So I can, let's believe what the person says. But as time says, are you sure? The trust comes because you've stayed. So he says your mind must stay there. So when you say looking to Jesus, it's not like now you are checking around, saying, where is Jesus or whatever. It starts in the mind. Your mind is on the word. You see, there's a story in the book of Matthew 14. Jesus is coming, walking on water, right? You know that story. He's walking on water and there's a cyclone. Let's say there's a cyclone. Hallelujah. That is happening, that these guys are on the boat. And it's really getting rough. And then they see someone and they say, hey, is this not a ghost? Because there's someone walking on water. Then Jesus starts talking to them. But then Peter then says, if it is you, Jesus, tell me to come on the water. Right? So now he says, come. Hallelujah. And you see, that is so powerful to say that, look, Jesus didn't stand there and say, look, me, I'm Jesus Christ. You know, they stay in your place. There's a line of separation. There are levels. No. He says, I also want you to walk on water. Not that I'm just Jesus somewhere here. In fact, everything that Jesus came and did on this earth, he was trying to show us that this is what a man should be doing. So it's not like there's Jesus up there and then the rest of us, we are just admiring. Hallelujah. Because remember in John 16 verse 33, he says, I have overcome the world. Then in 1 John 5 verse 4, he shows that anyone who is born of God is also an overcomer. Hallelujah. So he says, look, you can overcome the laws of gravity. Come and walk on the water. Peter said, come. This is what we are supposed to be doing. Having dominion over circumstances, everything that is there. I don't know, saints, what it is that is in your life, but walking on water, scientifically, it's not possible. You understand? There is no science that says you can walk on water. The facts do not allow it. So he's trying to tell you that the faith, this is how great the faith is, that you're able to overcome anything. What is it that is in your life you're facing? Maybe God is calling you to say, it's time to walk on the water. Hallelujah. You know, you're waiting for a carpet to be rolled out or to get to the other side. No, this is the other side, right here, on the water. There is no other side. Sometimes it's death or life. To be honest with you, saints, sometimes in this world, it's death or life. You see, one of the worst things, saints, is to not have the faith. And then even worse after that, not worse, but you don't have the faith, you don't have the money, you have nothing. So at least as a believer, if you don't have the money, if you don't have the connections, at least have the faith. You can't be deficient everywhere. No faith, no money, no connections. Hallelujah. Do you have the money to pay for these pills? No. Do you have the faith? No. Okay. Then it means, my friend, the heavens are waiting for you. But you should have something. Tell your neighbor, you should have something. The journey, he started to sink. Hallelujah. So Peter did walk on water, but temporarily. God is not calling us just for temporary things. You say that you see one or two breakthroughs. You see one or two things. Or at least, you know, I go to church. You see, because some people, at least I go to church, at least I pray once in a while. No, it must go all the way. Because when he sank, Jesus said something to Peter. He says, why, O you of little faith? So can you imagine someone who is walking on water is considered to have little faith? What about the ones in the boat? I don't know what they were having. A guy who's walking on water is being told that your faith is little. But at least he must be commended that the man walked, but the only problem it was little. So you put it like this. You see, maybe if you go to the shop and you want to buy a certain amount of things, then you find that your money doesn't reach. You can only buy half of them. You had the money, but not enough money to finish all the transactions. So it's the same thing. He had the faith to actually think that, you know what, me, I can also walk here. And he walked on the water. But at some point, he lost focus. His mind shifted. So he says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When does doubt come in? It's when your eyes move from the word and you start looking at other things. And then things tell you that, by the way, do you know that this is water? Hallelujah. Have you seen anyone ever walking on water? He started to think many things. Hallelujah. By the way, can you see that your account is, they're about to chase you right now? You're about to lose everything. Hallelujah. You're about to die. This thing won't go away. Your father had it, your grandfather had it. Just embrace it. Why do you want to be too spiritual? So he had the faith, but he says you doubted because his mind was not stayed. Looking unto Jesus. When he says look, he doesn't then say look away. The author and then the finisher. So a man once said, you have little faith. In other words, Peter, somewhere you stopped. And what trained you was not the word, was not the circumstances, was shifting the focus. And then he doubted. So most of us here, we do have faith, but I don't know, maybe it's the little faith. Not in terms of the size. It's that it only lasts. Hallelujah. It lasts maybe January, February, March, and then you see. Hallelujah. When they say little faith, it's those who say, hey, I used to be on fire, now I've gone to this life. It's a little faith. You're getting into doubt. Hallelujah. You believe God. But then as circumstances come, you say that, look, everyone is corrupt here. Why don't I join in? It looks like things are not moving. Hallelujah. So why don't I also make some plans? And then we say, God will understand. Hallelujah. So it's a little faith, because sometimes we shift. And all of us, we experience it. See this man who says, I believe Jesus, help my unbelief. What was he trying to say? I believe definitely you can heal, but then I'm so much overwhelmed by what is happening. I'm also starting to doubt. I'm in and out. I'm believing today. I'm not believing. Hallelujah. Like some of us, if you find that someone gets healed, and then maybe 5 minutes later, an hour later, 2 days later, you know, you feel that that pain, and then you start to doubt. You say, is this thing, is it not back? And then it says, let's try them again. Until you say, little faith. The faith took you just for those 2 days to say, pain is gone. I can bend my waist. Then when the waist said, let me try. Then you said, help me, Jesus. I'm dying. Do you get what I'm saying? So we're all faced with the challenge to say we should keep on looking. You looked once, but you are not supposed to look once. You're supposed to look forever. So he says, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? So my encouragement to you saints is that just let us have our eyes fixed on him. I know that there are so many circumstances, even right now, in your life, that are telling you that, hey, you know, I just reconsider. This thing, you're busy praying now. You see, if you didn't pray, you maybe would have had time to do these things. Now your life is, there are always circumstances that are coming to squeeze you so that you doubt, you have little faith. Hallelujah. Now you gave your tithes. Now look, the electricity is threatening. It's beeping, it's beeping, it's beeping. You see, saints, even when you will sow, even when you will tithe, sometimes the thing will be. Are we together? But that is now when you really to see it with the faith. Because everyone can be happy when your account is overflowing, things are going well, there's no pain in your body. Of course, I'm healed, I'm overcome. Why? Because there's nothing threatening you or challenging you. Anyone, if you're talking about sports, is there someone who is a champion who is not facing any opposition? Those who are the champions are the ones who actually play the most games. Because for you to reach the final, you must defeat many teams. You don't reach the final by losing once, and then you're out. Those are not champions. The champions are the ones who keep defeating teams. And we say you're the champion is because you have defeated everyone. He says, this is the victory that overcomes the world. So for us, the faith actually is that you will have many challenges, the world will have tribulation, but I keep on winning. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of Numbers 21. Hallelujah. Are you still with me, saints? Are you sure? Numbers 21 from verse 5. So this is all about dominion. I'm talking about dominion. In your day-to-day life. That's why I said that, look, every time we see threats of cyclones, that we will stand on the word. You say, they are saying another cyclone, praise the Lord. We're standing on the word.
Hallelujah.
And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Can you imagine that? Of course, to us, we look at this and we feel like, look at these silly people. But then we find ourselves, we are the same. They spoke against God. How can you say, why did you? You're asking God, why did you deliver us from Egypt? But the reason why he delivered you, he said, I heard your cries. You were crying because you were in oppression and bondage. I came and saved you. Now you're asking, why did you bring me out? Because when the devil tempts you, he tries to show you that things were better when you were not saved. Things were better when you were not going to church, when you are not doing the word. So now you even say, why did you bring us up out of Egypt? Now they say to die in the wilderness, for there is no food, no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. In other words, they were even dissing the food that God has given. But you know, at that time, God was giving them food, and even their clothes were not getting old. In fact, I think they were even being supernaturally washed. They were in the wilderness. They are saying there's no food, no water. So you think that now, if there's water, you're washing clothes. If you are in the desert and you find water, it's the first thing you are thinking that now I need to wash my shirt. Hallelujah. They were thousands of these people. So now these guys were receiving, they were drinking water out of a rock. Supernaturally. Food was falling from heaven. Their clothes were not getting old. So you came out with the trouser, you were 9 years old, now maybe the thing was growing with you. Not getting old, not getting faded. Hallelujah. So someone else would have talked and said, you know, there's some serious anointing happening here. Our clothes are growing. But now you're even despising that. You're saying our soul loathes this worthless bread. Food is falling from heaven. You're saying it's worthless. Hallelujah. So sometimes we find ourselves in that position. What is this called? Let's continue. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and they bit the people and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents. So Moses prayed for the people. So you see how as people are so inconsistent. One day you're crying, oh God, save us. He hears your cries, he sends Moses. Then afterwards, you're now crying, when are Moses and God? Why did you bring us out? Now the snakes are biting, oh God, we have sinned against you. Save us from. And you find that that is some of us, our journey of faith. It's in and out. When you are in trouble, oh God. Hallelujah. You see someone walking through that door of the church, you know that, hey, things are rough now. And then when things are getting better, they're out, they don't come, they come back again. Hallelujah. So it's an emergency service. But you see, if we go back there, the Bible says, then God sent serpents. Now, was it that God sent serpents? Because you say, now God got angry and he said, I'm going to. No, you know what God did? If you understand the scripture, he says, oh, you guys, you like Egypt. Let me open that world back to you. That's all he did. To say, these people, they're saying it's better there. Okay, let me open that world. So all he did is he opened that world and then now the snakes came. Not knowing that I was saving you from snakes and all of that. You are saying it's better. Let me, they want Egypt. Let them have it. Because who is the serpent? You see the serpent in the Garden of Eden is the devil. Hallelujah. Even in Egypt, the wizards there, those are the ones they started, they were the ones who started throwing down snakes. They were dealing with snakes. Snakes were tormenting. He says they beat the people and many of them died. Don't you think they were dying in Egypt? If you follow slavery, in slavery there's no one who is pampered, who is treated well. But they forgot. Then he says, let me bring Egypt back to you. Because you forgot what it was like to be beaten, to be oppressed. Let's continue. So God forbid that you complain, say things were better.
when I was not saved. You may be asking, just you are opening the door. Even the demons are listening. They say it's better. Yeah, let's go. This means they are calling us. Said, yeah, take Egypt. If you want the Egypt, go ahead. This is what is in Egypt. Snakes are biting them. So when your focus, your mind is stayed on your perfect peace, there is even a thanksgiving that is in your heart. But when you are not, then you complain about many things. Even the miracles of God. Therefore, the people came to Moses. We have sinned and we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpent. So Moses prayed for the people. So we understand this as pastors, because when people do things, we don't maybe say, "Ah, where are you coming from?" We just pray with you. Often, sometimes you ask a person, "Oh, the last time we spoke, I told you, did you do any of those things?" Ah, these things are continuing. That's okay. Let's pray. This is what they call long suffering. You know what long suffering is? It's one of the fruit of the spirit that you suffer for a long time. It's what is done with people. Now, when you have long suffering, then sometimes you are able to. It's not even tolerate. You're able to embrace. Say, "Oh, this person is like this." How are you together? You see, I was even telling Pastor the other time that no, you see, in our families there are all kinds of people. We cannot deny. Some of them are thieves. Some of them are chaotic, but they are still our relatives. Hallelujah. You don't say, I disown you. These ones are still our relatives, but they're chaotic, they are. They live a wild life. No. So some of us here in the house of God, we know that you are part of the church. You are in the family, but we are like that uncle. Tell him, don't be that uncle. Let's continue. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So can you see now God is actually saying, okay, by the way, in this world there's tribulation. I was actually even protecting more. But then you ask for Egypt, let's just open the gates. Hallelujah. And show you really what is in this world. And he said, now the snakes are not even going away. You called them, now they are here. So now you have to learn to live with them. You see, saying some of the things that happen in our lives, you have to learn to live with them. They have happened, they are there. You can't erase them. You know, people, they put things on social media, not knowing that people, they screenshot. And then they delete. Oh, people are there busy putting it there, the videos there. Yeah, because when you put it up there, but people have already captured. Then you have to live with it. That is, but now what happens is that you must look somewhere so that bite will not kill you. So some people are asking, why are the serpents there? Why are they biting? Look unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. Keep your mind stayed on him. They may bite, but you will not die. You will live. Because we are fighting today, there must be no snakes. We are fighting that they must not bite us. But your fight is that I must look to the serpent on the pole, so that even if it happens, I will not die, but I will live. Hallelujah. Are we together? You see, it's like someone now who says, hey, there's crime here, so now they've got bodyguards and security. In other words, they're trying to say that, oh, these things are there, but I've covered myself. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue living my life, going around. I've got my bodyguards, I've got, you know, my security and everything, so it won't touch me. Or even if they fire, I'm protected. Let's continue to verse 9. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. So it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when they looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So this is just telling us today that in this world there's tribulation. But then where are your eyes? The snakes are biting. Poverty is biting. Sickness is biting. Economy is biting. Disasters, political unrest, all these things, they are biting. But he says, let us look so that we can live. Because the Bible says, when Jesus is talking about the last days, he says men's hearts failing them because of them looking at the things that are happening in the world. Have you read Jesus' prophecies? If you haven't, just take some time to read Jesus Christ's prophecies and then you understand. But he has provided a remedy, a constant, something that does not change in the midst of tribulation. When they looked at the bronze serpent, what happened? He lived. So maybe you are here, you are crying because you are being beaten. The good news is there is a snake on the pole. Who is the snake? It's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hey, Pastor, these things keep on biting me. Keep on looking to Jesus. Because even Moses couldn't do anything about the snakes. Even God didn't come and say, snakes disappear. Do you know that Jesus Christ came into this world? How many believe that? But there are still demons around. There's still sickness and disease. So you ask yourself, what was this guy doing? That could be the question. What did he come to do? Because look, we're still seeing all of these things. No, he said it is finished. Now find yourself in him. Look unto him. The time will come when this world will come to an end. But as for now, we look unto him. The author and the finisher of our faith. He gives us perfect peace. He causes us to live in the midst of death. He causes light to shine in the midst of darkness. So maybe you think you're not a believer because there are snakes in your house. But it is normal. The issue is not the snakes, it's where are your eyes? And what you must stand on is that I will live and I will not die. Let's rise to our feet. All in the looking, saints. We cannot look for you. You see, now Moses, God told Moses that actually, look, the people now themselves must look. They came to Moses saying, Moses, pray for us. And that is the normal agenda of saints. Pastor, pray for us. Pray for us, we will not be looking. I think you have looked, Pastor. What have you seen? It's the normal thing. So Pastor, have looked, now pray for us. But God told Moses that, look, you cannot always be praying for them. They have to now look also. Because they said, God, pray for us. Because that's what they were used to. Even when Moses was up there praying, they were busy with golden calves. When they said, oh, go pray for us. Now again, they complain, oh, pray for us. But he says, now you must look. Yes, there is prayers, but you must look. Keep your eyes there. If you are indeed, I believe. If maybe you are not a believer, well, we don't mind praying now. We'll do it. But if you say you are a believer in Christ, you have to look. Because the time will come when the prayers will not help you because we need to look. Because maybe there will be a strong python that will come there. And then when you are looking for the pastor, it's offline. Not when there is trouble. It's something that you are fixed on daily. You see, this thing of trying to be a man of faith when a problem arises, then you remember to do this. What was it? Was it John 5? You see, that thing, and you see, when people want to attack, if you are in a war, the enemy always looks for vulnerability. You say, oh, look, that soldier looks like he's falling asleep. The gun is there, but it caught you while sleeping. Now, so you should always be on your guard. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart. What does a guard do?
A guard is there. A guard does not go to sleep in a place. When you are a security guard, when you are saying good night, should you also be saying good night? But we thank God because He never sleeps, nor slumbers. Hallelujah. So we are never alone. God is not sleeping. You see, when Jesus slept in the boat, it's not that He was sleeping, it's that He said, my eyes are focused. There is no storm that is going to shift me. Because I know this thing is settled in my heart. So now even when the challenge, you see, sometimes even when the challenge comes, and I'm not even going to start praying because already I'm settled in my heart. I'm going to sleep. This thing is not going to. I remember there's a man of God. He said one day he heard some noise in the house. He came out of the bedroom. And when he came on the bedroom, he saw a spirit sitting on the sofa there. The devil. Then he said, oh, it's you. And he went back to sleep. Another one, he said they came from a crusade. When they came back from the crusade, there's a large bed that came and sat on the door. And then the other guy said, hey, let us go. He said, no, but from preaching, now we are going to sleep. If you want to pray, that's your own decision. He said, that's for me, I'm going to sleep. He fell, he went and he slept. It's not because someone is lazy to pray. It's that somebody has seen something. There's a confidence. That it's not like now when there's an emergency, you are looking for the tongue to broadcast. You know, it's like you are trying to call someone, the phone is shutting down. You know, and you are trying to make the call, but the battery is not there. So that's not the life. So sometimes when you've been beholden, you say that I'm not even going to pray. Yes, sometimes you must pray, but other times it's a focus. It's not like as and when. Because that's the ones who then, now when there's trouble, they come to church. Oh, you see, like there, Jesus. They want to maybe. I'm not condemning, I'm just saying. It's not the way. Tell them it's not the way. Hallelujah. Look. Because the serpents are not going. Hallelujah. You may not feel them in church, but when you go out there, they are waiting. The Bible says the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But the Bible says be steadfast in faith. He's checking to see who can I get. Oh, these ones are from church. They feel they are excited. They got some prophecies. Let me go and check them out. Then he now pinches you. Then you doubt. Oh, you have little faith. You are jumping on Sunday. On Monday, you're already saying, Pastor, it's not working. But we thank God for this bigger snake. Hallelujah. Who was sacrificed once, who died for us and rose again. And that's what we are looking unto Jesus, the light of the world. And he says, anyone who is born of God is also an overcomer. How many of you believe that? I want you to lift up your voice now and receive the grace of God.